MTV with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, September 6th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to another week of Wing TV. We had a good weekend, and today is Labor Day. Being that it is so, all of the orders that we got over the weekend, we won't be able to ship them out until Tuesday. We want to thank everybody. Mm-hmm. And it seems like we're getting some good books on here that people are being interested in. One of them, and this one I'm reading right now, I'm about halfway through it, is called Fleshing Out Skull and Bones. And I have to tell you, folks, that book is awesome. Now, yeah. I think everybody out there knows how much I dislike John Kerry, but I'll tell you, if we allow this Bush crime family in office for even one day after November 2nd, I think we're in for hell on earth. So, you know, if you want to find out what these people are truly capable of, it's all within those covers, and it's just gruesome what they've done in the past.
Yeah, we absolutely admire Chris Milligan's efforts with compiling this book, and we strongly recommend everyone get their hands on a copy.
Right.
And now I would like to present to you Mr. Phil Jahan. I'm thrilled to have him on the show today. His website is letsroll911.org. And the stuff they're talking about on that website should be of interest to every single person in America. Welcome, Phil.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Great. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, Phil, the first thing we have to commend you on is the forum that you have on your site. Now, when we had Daniel Hopsicker on here a couple weeks ago, there was a buzz on the internet for about a week straight. And the one thing about your site, Lisa was showing me all the comments made, that the people on your group discuss these things rationally, maturely. They don't resort to name-calling, and they just do it in a very professional way. So I want to commend you for running the site and also all the people on your site for being so professional. We can't say that about some other groups out there that basically are so vicious and vile that they have no place in this 9/11 movement.
Well, what's important, too, Phil, is these people are putting together solid analysis. It's well-reasoned, it's critical, it's devoid of conspiracy theory, and it's based entirely upon fact. Correct?
Yeah. The group of people that we have here at the forums, I mean, I can't say enough about them. It's probably the biggest joy of you know, working in the 911 community. The people, like you said, you know, some of the posts that I see, it's just incredible. I mean, it's like I can't even keep up on my own forum. I mean, it's material.
We can't keep up with our own lives, so we know what you mean.
We've been promoting this 9/11 in plain sight video by Dave Von Kleist, and I know that some of your research has gone into this film, this documentary. What I'm very interested in is, on a recent interview with Fintan Dunn, you guys were talking about the blurriness, the poor picture quality of the second plane hitting the towers. Can you tell us what you were talking about as far as the deliberateness of this blurry quality?
Yeah, there's a picture that's on the front page of Let's Roll. You scroll down, it's a bluish picture that we got from Here is New York. And it's a picture of the plane right before it hits the second tower, and you can clearly see that there's two vertical sprays, jets of liquid that are being sprayed out of the bottom of the airplane in the forward fuselage and in the rear fuselage. And what this is doing is that it's laying down, it's the equivalent of like putting Vaseline on a camera lens. They're just doing it from above. They're laying down a fuel blur. You know, if you've ever been at the gas station and you're putting gas in your car and you see the fumes coming up,
uh-huh.
Notice that everything behind the fumes is
right.
Blurry and convoluted. Well, that's the effect that they were creating.
Yeah. Well, we want to get into this aspect of 9/11 a lot more in depth here. But first of all, to get things rolling, give us your opinion on the state of the 9/11 research field as it stands right now. We're coming up on the third anniversary mm-hmm. here in a few days. What I'm afraid of is that the 9/11 research field, it's going to become like JFK. It's going to be pushed into the back of history, covered with dust. So is this going to become like JFK, or are the people guilty of these crimes going to be brought to justice, in your opinion?
Boy, that's really a loaded question. I mean, that's a big one. I'm not really sure. I guess the future is ours to create. The whole purpose of, you know, one of the, you know, I guess joys, you could say, you know, the, you know, of me discovering what I have with, you know, the second plane and all this extra equipment and all the shenanigans that's going on with it, is it real quickly, it's really easy for people to see government complicity, government engineering, and to see that 911 was an inside job, and not have to really waste a ton of time getting sucked into, you know, every different aspect. I don't know what the future is going to hold. Is all I know is, you know, one of the premises of Let's Roll, one of the reasons that we picked the name that we did was, I mean, it's time for action. You
right.
know? Before Let's Roll was on the scene, we had enough already. I mean, there's just plenty there, and you know the whole theme is action, and everybody to do just a little something, and
we like that idea.
Overcome this government.
The name of your website reminds me of that famous cell phone call. What is your take on the cell phone calls that supposedly occurred on 9/11? Considering that we didn't really have that sort of good technology back on September 11th, 2001.
Yeah, that's a great point. Just a month or so ago, I think that they announced that they've just developed technology
mm-hmm.
to enable people to use their cell phones in airplanes. And I mean, I think that announcement coming in 2004, says it all. That capability, yeah. you know, wasn't here in 2001.
I mean, I know everybody in the 9/11 field picked up on that right away, but I wonder how many people out in just everyday America. It just passed right over their heads like they didn't even notice it.
You know, the unfortunate thing about what they probably did in taking those phone calls is so dastardly. When the average person that, you know, still believes the government story, you know, hears that, you know, the phone calls were faked, I mean, they think that it's absurd.
Right, exactly.
And this is one of the things that the government, you know, the perpetrators, you know, are counting on.
Yeah. Now, the biggest buzz within the last week or so was Mike Ruppert let out a press release, and we knew about this information a couple weeks beforehand, but he made it official, and he said that in his upcoming book, Crossing the Rubicon, he has verifiable proof that Dick Cheney was the mastermind behind the 9/11 attacks. What's your take on this information, and do you think, if he's able to prove it, that this will bring the whole house of cards down for this administration?
I'm not sure. They seem to set the agenda, and if you're not able to ask them a question, or, you know, they're not, you know, they don't have to give an answer. And they're so insulated.
Right.
I mean, look at what's happened with 911. I mean, could you ever imagine, you know, growing up that anything like this could ever happen in America?
Oh, exactly.
And, I mean, we're dumbfounded. As you and I and the other 911 people start working to, you know, get this overturned and get justice and, you know, get the real perps behind it, you know, you're overwhelmed with the sense of frustration of what's wrong with everything.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would love, there's nothing more I would love than to see this administration just the bottom drop out for them and all of these bastards that were behind it finally be brought to justice mm-hmm. because the thought of them getting away with it for even one day longer is so infuriating. But let's jump right ahead now to your specialty, so to speak, about the second plane that hit the World Trade Center tower. Why is it so vitally important for people to know this? And some people might say, well, we don't really, you know, care what hit the Pentagon, hit the World Trade Center, but what brought it down. So explain to everybody why this is so important.
Well, I think that, you know, what we just touched on a second ago, you know, that they don't have to answer anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if there's nobody to, you know, put the question before them. And that's, they've insulated themselves on all these 911 issues, you know, with the official story. You know, as Dan Hopsicker said, you know, it's the you know, story that's on the table. And they insulate themselves, and as long as nobody asks any questions, they don't have to answer. But one of the things that is different about Let's Roll and the evidence that we present is, and let's say in a, you know, best-case scenario that there's a whistleblower, and he comes out and he actually says that he was part of the demolition team. that wired the building. And, you know, everybody sits there and thinks, well, here, now it's all going to come out. The whole truth is, you know, the whole top of the is going to blow off the volcano now, right? The government, you know, always insulates themselves with plausible deniability.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the government would simply turn around. They would take control of the story because they already have control of our press, as I believe that you and Lisa would agree.
Yes.
And they would spin the story around and say, in 1993, we did a feasibility study, you know, on what would have happened if one of these buildings had tipped over. And we found that 300,000 people could have died, boom, in an instant. So we secretly, you know, pre-rigged these buildings for demolition. So if the worst case ever happens, we can bring them down in a controlled manner.
In fact, you think that 9/11 was actually a staged pyrotechnic display for our benefit, and that the plane, the second plane, banking the way it did, and the deliberate blurring of the view we have of the plane hitting obscures a missile hitting the building, don't you?
Yeah, it's kind of a long question, but...
It is, sorry.
There is definite piece of extra equipment that's on the bottom of the airplane that's been added to the fuselage. It's off-centered to the right, and it's just forward of the gearwell door. We've discovered another photograph that's being sold in commemorative albums down at Ground Zero, and Deb Simon found a piece of, it's the first clear picture that we have at the bottom, you know, of the farther side of the plane, and there's a bomb that's tucked between the engine and the pylon.
Uh-huh.
A bomb on the plane.
Yeah, on the other wing. And the whole plane is, I mean, it's just rigged. The whole plane is retrofitted to be a huge pyrotechnic explosive device.
Right, so just add that Hollywood effect.
So this is a military operation then.
It's definitely a military operation. I mean, from, you know, start to finish, you know, if you even look at the way that they were able to get some of the military to apparently stand down, that's what it looked like, you know, from our view, but it's what they had going on that morning is they had, you know, war games.
Right.
So if it's a military operation, how did these hijackers fit into this military operation?
I think the military operation that morning was Vigilant Guardian, and one of the things that they were, I mean, it's unbelievable that this exercise, these war games, were to simulate a plane being, you know, driven into public buildings.
Right.
Just what happened. I mean, it's so unbelievable. It's just fantastic.
And they stopped right after the Pentagon got hit, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Now, since Lisa mentioned the Pentagon, she showed me one of the posts you made after our Hopsicker interview, and a lot of people were saying, well, maybe we shouldn't have brought this question up to him, or maybe we should have just stuck to his specialty, which was the supposed Arab hijackers. But you made a great point where you said every 9/11 researcher in the field should be asked these two questions. Do they believe that a Boeing 757 hit the Pentagon? And do they believe this government media story that Arab hijackers were behind this plot? So, you know, we want to thank you for that. And where do you stand on, you know, whether a Boeing 757 hit the Pentagon and if the hijackers were on these planes?
No, I don't think that there was any Boeing 757 at the Pentagon. I don't know what really hit it. I'm sure that it was a missile.
Yes.
You know, a plane, like Dave von Kleist has pointed out, that's 155 feet wide and 52 feet high, mm-hmm. just doesn't fit into a 18-foot hole.
Yeah, and we've come up with pictures right now that every time we show them to people, they're just, they're stunned because they can't even answer when we say, where's the plane? And we show from all these different angles, and these are taken right after the Pentagon was hit. There's no plane anywhere.
And the thing about Phil Jahan's photographs are that they're culled from mainstream news sources and then played back slowly. We've been watching this all along, haven't we, Phil? But at the regular speed, you can't detect any of this stuff going on.
No, it's impossible to see it at full speed. It's just, you know, a plane flown into a building at 500 miles an hour. But once you slow it down, well, as a matter of fact, on September 12th, the New York Times, they ran right on their front page a picture of the plane hitting the second tower, and boom, right there, all of us, right in the middle of our, it's just that pod on the bottom of the airplane.
Yeah.
Plain as day.
Do you think the planes were switched after they took off from the airport? The plane that left Logan Airport, what happened to it?
I would have to say, I do believe that they were switched. It's all conjecture or speculation. I guess it really, at this point, it doesn't matter. The people, their fate, is the same. But I think that all four planes probably ended up, I think that 11 and 175 were combined into one plane full of people at Logan. And only one plane took off from there. And I think that all the planes that had the people in them, regardless of flight plans that they've released to us, it did a straight beeline for Cleveland Airport.
Very interesting.
At Cleveland Airport, I think that everybody was uploaded onto Flight 93, told that they were being told, for safety, and, we know the rest from there.
And, that's a good point, because when you look at how the vacancy rates on all of these planes, they were only flying 20 to 25% full, so if you combine four planes together, you'd get one plane load then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, with the 9/11 whitewash report that just came out, most people don't realize it, but of the 547 pages in that book, only 11 pages focus on President Bush and his administration's behavior on the morning of 9/11. Only 11 pages out of 547, and it just ends up becoming symbolic of how corrupt this entire system is. What do you think about this committee and also the groups, the 9/11 groups? They're going to be at the forefront of the anniversaries here in a few days.
Well, it's a good question. I'd like to answer it by saying this. You look at the report that the commission put out, and, I'm not sure, but everything was kind of like halfway on hold in the 911 community, and there was a lot of people that for some reason, were holding out some kind of hope that, we could get through. And this is a good example of what I said earlier about, let's say a whistleblower comes out and we find out that the buildings were brought down in a controlled demolition. Well, didn't we already have a whistleblower do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, with Flight 93.
No, didn't we already have somebody come out and declare on public TV that one building was...
Oh, yeah, Larry Silverstein. Exactly.
Yes.
And they floated the story. It was very intentional and devious what they did. And boom, now you have one. Now, with the commission and with Bush in power or Kerry in power, you're going to get the same thing.
Right.
If we get that whistleblower, they're going to turn it around and it's going to get the fun. But one of the things that you can't do is they can't spin, a Boeing 767, which is supposed to be Flight 175, that has an extra piece of equipment on the bottom fuselage, and it shoots out a missile or a rocket, incendiary device.
Right, and considering that incendiary devices were attached to this plane, how could it take off from a regular airport with all this bomb stuff attached to it? It had to be a different sort of plane than a normal airliner, and was it a fuel tanker?
Definitely. This plane never saw Logan International Airport, at least not on September 11th. Was it a fuel tanker? I do know that it had at least two pallets of fuel aboard for the jet fuel spray that we, discussed earlier. As far as, whether it was a tanker or not, I think it acted as a tanker. Whether it was, what this plane was before, you start looking at all the pictures and things just don't line up.
Right.
The wings, appear to be the wings of a 777, the body of a 767. You've got all the, you got a missile, you got a pod, you got a bomb on the left wing, you've got jet fuel sprays coming out. I mean, if anybody's guessed what this thing was, this thing just crawled out of hell's belly that morning.
Yeah. Well, in the last few minutes we have, first of all, tell everyone how to find your website.
It's at letsroll911.org.
That's letsroll911.org.
And
definitely go to it.
Everybody can access this evidence for themselves. The photographs are excellent. The information is fantastic.
Right. Now, before we go out, Bill, tell us, there's a lot of buzz in the last few days about this clampdown by the government, the National Guard, martial law, fear everywhere. What's your take on this? Do you think it's legitimate? Do you think people should be filled with this fear? Or do you think that this is just another attempt to,
neutralize people?
Well, let me answer that by asking you a question, because, I thought about it after, we discussed it earlier.
Uh-huh.
And, I came up with this thought, and it kind of stuck in my mind. What do you think about all the detention camps that have sprung up all across America?
Oh, they're definitely there.
Okay. You've investigated it. You found that they're real, correct?
Yeah, they exist.
Okay. Yeah, then, I don't think it is fear-mongering. Because these detention camps are all empty, right?
From what we know, they're empty.
Yeah. Well, what this means, then, is if the government is planning this kind of clampdown, this means that it's going to be a global transformation. This will be the biggest thing that's ever hit the world, essentially. If they come in and, start rounding up Americans and throwing them into concentration camps, we've never seen anything like this, at least in our country.
Well, the funny thing is when they start doing that, people aren't going to know that it's happening. For the most part, it's going to be done quietly, and, they control the press.
Right.
Probably licensed internet is coming in the future, under, some kind of, military state. So the things that are, they're going to do are going to be all pretty much off the screen.
And very rapidly, if it does happen, I'm sure.
Phil, quickly, you took your claims, your evidence to different law enforcement agencies, the FBI, the CIA, and so on. What kind of response did you get?
I didn't really get any response. The one report that I made in person to Doug DiBattista, at the Dearborn branch, in Chicago, that's the FBI, he I could tell by body language he was convinced of everything that I showed him through the pictures and the photographs. And I must have called him a dozen times in the next 45 days. I could never, ever get him to even return a single phone call.
Yeah, why is that so surprising? Well, we just want to tell everyone out there, go to letsroll911.org. Phil, we want to thank you for the posts, for the forum that you have there. Like we said, this is one where people can go in there and actually discuss things in a mature way instead of being called names and just this fact-fighting, which seems to afflict some of these other groups.
And these are facts, folks. This is not what you've been sold about 9/11. This is the truth.
Right, folks. In a couple of days, it's going to be the third anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
Put yourself back on the morning of Tuesday, September 11th, and feel what you felt then. And remember, we can't let this end up in the dustbin of history.
That's right. God help us all if we let them get away with it any longer. Yeah.
Phil, thanks a lot for coming
on
Wayne TV.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure being here.
Keep up the good work, and we'll be back again tomorrow on Wing TV. Keep your eyes open, folks. There's a lot going on.
Thank you.